The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'll start with a little guided meditation. There'll be silence for a while, and then I'll drop in something for us to consider. And an idea. Just let it kind of float in the mind. Consider what might be one of the most beautiful inner states that you have experienced. That's valuable. That's a precious state of being from the inside. See if you can bring to mind that occasion, the circumstances. It doesn't have to be the most beautiful from any external standard, but beautiful for you. Consider how it felt in your body. How it felt in your mind. How it felt in your heart. How did having this experience affect you? How did you recognize or know this experience? If resolve could also be a beautiful thing inside, not harsh or hard, but something that lightened you rather than being heavy, what would it be like, do you imagine, to be resolved on this beautiful quality that you've had before? What would that be like? Is there a way that you could be more resolved with regards to this state, this beautiful experience you had? So in that meditation, I asked you to bring to mind an experience you've had, a beautiful experience. You get to define whatever that means for you. And then to consider that resolve also has a beautiful quality to it. Maybe not exactly the same as the state you brought to mind, but shares something with it. And then what would it be like to be resolved on that beautiful state that you have experienced? So would anybody like to share how that was for you? Anything that came up? Some observations? Anything surprising? Or maybe just sharing in general? There's a microphone right here. And you're Kristen?
Kristen.
Yes.
Out of my meditation work, I believe, I've sort of developed, I would call it patience or something, so that, oftentimes, you know, in life, but a lot of times at work, things can get really heated quickly, and I just didn't have the capacity to manage myself in those kind of situations. And when things got heated, I immediately got heated along with it, and I just was so dissatisfied with that and felt that I just couldn't do anything, you know, I just couldn't manage it. And over time, I sort of found this ability to temper that down a little bit, and just, you know, over the last couple of months, like, things have got really heated, and for once, like, Kristen didn't need to even respond back. It was just like, you know, someone's yelling and I'm just like, oh, you know, listening to them. And I think the quality though that comes out of that is there's a really lovely sense of peace and well-being that comes from not having to harm someone back, and also not feeling maybe so harmed by it. You know, it's just understanding that this someone's having an emotional state at this moment. It's not necessarily about me, and I don't necessarily have to do anything about it. And, you know, what are we trying to accomplish here? Can we just move that forward despite the, you know, the volume or the lack of volume or whatever's going on? So I think that's the nice quality. And I think the more that I experience that and develop that, I think the resolve around it is really easy. But also, it doesn't feel like one of those must-have-it kind of resolves. It feels like a very gentle kind of natural resolve, which is probably the resolve that they're going for here. Right?
Wow, thank you for sharing, Kristen. Yeah, we shouldn't underestimate these things that maybe don't look so fabulous on the outside are in fact tremendously powerful and life-changing, to not get caught up in things and instead to have some steadiness. So thank you for sharing.
The most precious, I would say, moments are when I kind of feel like life's sacred, like even ordinary things that I normally pass by, and being that, feeling that sacredness to everything around me, I have so much gratitude for being alive, for seeing it, for simple things. And I look at my six-month-old grandson, and it's so precious to be around him. So this is where I don't have to think, really. Thinking's not involved, really. It's more of a, life's okay, life's good, like perfect. So.
Fantastic.
I like to, more moments of those, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank
for sharing,
you.
Enrica. Anybody else want to share? was your experience when I said, well, maybe resolve can be beautiful too? Did you have a protest like, no, it isn't? Or was it like, oh, that's right? Or, I don't know, what was that experience when I kind of introduced that idea? Kate?
I don't mean to be a language stickler, but I appreciate that resolve can be sweet and soft and wonderful, but I didn't understand the instruction, resolve on. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So I got hung up on that phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, resolve, we use it as a verb, and we also use it as a noun. Yeah, so I could see this. What do you have a sense? What does it mean to you?
Can you offer some different language? I mean, I didn't know we resolved on anything. I sort of got a sense of what you wanted, but the language didn't say it.
So from a grammatical perspective is kind of what you're pointing to? Okay, so I don't know if this helps, but I got reminded of what a gerund is the other day. And a gerund is a noun that you add ing to, mm-hmm. and it turns into a verb. So resolving would be the gerund of resolve.
But right, we have this, you to resolve. You can resolve, I will not eat ice cream for breakfast this week. I make a resolve, which is a statement, is a resolution maybe. So we use the language, it's a little bit sloppy, I agree, Kate, it's sloppy, but maybe it's more like, you know, setting an intention. We could talk about this, like what's the difference between intention and resolve? It's, but maybe, so in English, we intend and we set intentions. So maybe it's resolutions would be intending, yeah.
So how does that relate to bringing up this most peaceful moment, or that's my word, peaceful, the most wonderful experience you've had from the inside, and where does resolve come in there? I mean, if I try to resolve to get back there, that's not going to happen. And that's not, I can resolve to create the conditions where the causes and conditions where it might arise if I get out of the way.
It's perfect, right? Just this recognition, like, oh, yeah. If resolve is kind of like, I got to make this thing happen, there's things that don't happen through that approach, just not possible. But if we think of resolve as an open-handed creating the conditions, then certain things can happen. I think that's great, Kate. Thank you. Anybody else want to share? Okay, so in the Buddhist teachings, there is these four qualities that are said to help support any resolutions we make, any, you know, our determination to do things. And so we'll break up into four groups, and then I'll give each of you the quality that's associated with it, and you can discuss, explore, find your way. What's the relationship between this quality and what does it have to do with resolve? How can it support it? How is it related? What role does it have? And maybe also, building on what Kate was saying, how could you use this quality to help create the conditions for you to have resolve or for you to, yeah, let's say that. It just helps create conditions, or maybe it helps the resolve itself, or you can find your way with it, right? There's some vagueness here, so that you can each find your way, or each group can find their way. And then what we'll do is from the four groups, there'll be somebody who reports back. So we'll ask you to choose somebody who's going to report back. But of course, reporting back is a little bit of an art form, shall we say, or it's a, you don't have to report exactly everything that everybody said. We're going to let this be your impression, your understanding, but with, you know, taking into account what happened there as well. So it's not imperative that you're 100% accurate. It's not imperative that you're completely exhaustive, right? Just be able to report back. What are some of the things that you discovered? What are some themes? What are some highlights? What are some of the things important? So does that make sense? So you'll discuss as a group a topic, a quality that all, once we're in groups, I'll give each group a different quality, and you guys can discuss it, and then we'll come back and we'll report it. So in order to do this, let's count by fours. So there can be four groups. So we'll start with you, Kate. One, and then Richard. Two, and then we'll go back there. Three. So Gail.
Four.
Four.
Three?
Yeah, Yolanda's three, so you're four, Trudy.
One. Two.
Kristen. And this person who's just sneaking in, you get to be a number two. Okay, so let's have number ones will be over here. Number twos will be over here. Number threes will be up there. And then number fours can be in the conference room here. Okay, so would group one like to report back? The other groups don't know what your word was, your quality was, so if you could introduce that. Did anybody from group one? Would anybody like to volunteer? You don't have notes, but that's okay. What are some things that came up? This group was number four. This was number one, two, three.
I'll just go for it because no one wants to do it, then I'll go for it.
Excellent.
Group one had the word wisdom connected to resolve. And I guess it caused a lot of confusion. A difficulty to connect to wisdom, and not for all, but for some of us, and we start taking it apart, kind of what it means. Wisdom's definitely helpful and supports resolve when we're aware of doing things that we should or not doing that we shouldn't. You know, this. It comes from wisdom to have the resolve to abandon the activity that's harmful or do the one that needs to be done. But in the process, we realize that these are words, that actually the readiness to make a change, perhaps, and align ourselves with truth or direction we want to go is that energy that informs us about the next step, essentially. And at this moment, whether it's resolve or wisdom or whatever word it is, it doesn't matter because it's that inner process that is guiding the next step simply and the direction and the dedication to the cause, the best I can say. And, you know, and of course, involved with it are emotions that are involved in it, and emotions need to be looked at also with wisdom, because emotions are in fact frequently, but they give us information. So we don't just purely act on emotions, and we just examine. Somebody even brought up a book, How the Decisions Are Made, you know, the process. And a lot of that is has to do with having some intuition, having some sense of what we want to do, and then justifying, kind of finding the support for it, you know, for explanation, so to speak. Whether, this is wisdom, and of course examining again emotions for their validity. So frequently, especially in my case, I really have to pay attention to emotions, because they can be deceiving. So anyway, I don't know if I touch up on everybody saying things, hopefully. If anyone else from group one wants to add, like.
So wisdom is really kind of helps with resolve, like being in line.
Yes, or, yeah. Thank
Great.
You.
Great, thank you. Group two, who would like to...
We found this a little bit our topic was truthfulness. We found this a little bit challenging because only one of the three of us had been to last month's session on truthfulness. So we did go
but
back.
Hopefully you know something about truthfulness.
Well, yeah, so we went back over that a little bit, and that we were had some differences. We were talking about truthfulness in others, i.e. in government right now, or inner truthfulness, which from last time we'd asked some questions. What are you not willing to pay attention to? Kind of what are you been reluctant to admit? Sort of one's own delusions that truthfulness was we'd been exploring, yeah, one's own delusions. And then by the time we got done with all of that, we really couldn't come up with a whole lot more than the resolve and truthfulness discussion we'd had this morning about why resolve after truthfulness, because we came up, you know, again, with seeking the truth can be very motivating or galvanizing. And that's, for some, that is political, and the marches tomorrow that anyone could ask us about if they want. Resolve needed to follow through on having seen the truth. Thank you, Trudy. That was yours this morning. And without truthfulness, resolve won't get you a skillful result. So there we go. Truthfulness and really some... it connects a bit with, Enrique, what you had just said about whether one's own emotions are true or wise or something. I'm sorry, I'm kind of losing it here.
Yeah, so a similar idea, right?
It is a similar idea.
If you can see the truth or recognize the truth, and you can get aligned with it, and you can have resolve. And I liked one of the distinctions you made, whether it's truth that's out there or it's the truth in here.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Both are important. Both definitely have a role in our lives and in our practice. Yeah, okay, so group number three.
We had renunciation, and we actually defined it in a couple different ways, the more obvious letting go of, but also letting be and not pushing away necessarily. So in that context, we had a couple of ways that we looked at it in relation to resolve, which is letting go of external distractions and tasks so that the resolution can be executed upon. Letting go or renunciating things that impede on the cultivation of the resolution. So things that impede, you know, cultivating whatever your resolution is about. and similarly, letting go of cravings cravings that unbalance that as we're on the path to that resolution, and you know, and said another way, kind of finding balance in the resolution, and then letting go of the outcome of the resolution. Mm. So having a resolution, but not clinging to a certain outcome.
Nice.
Of it. And then also letting go of hindrances that block that resolution. They might be fear or judgment or similar things.
Fantastic. So letting go of the things that get in the way, letting go of some views you might have getting in the way. And everybody forgot the last thing that you said was,
maybe the outcome.
Yeah, letting go of particular outcomes.
Yeah, and I particularly liked actually what Richard sort of came up with though is in the renunciation. I think the letting be some of the things that you would let be were the hindrances, like the fear and the, you might not actually be able to renunciate those, but you could just let them be.
Mm, fantastic. So we're renouncing the idea that you have to do, fix, right? Right, which is a prevalent feeling, right? A kind of, you know, our society certainly encourages that. So in some ways renouncing that particular one, but all the other kind of societal expectations in some cases, right? If we make a commitment to meditate in the mornings, it means that we won't be responding to the emails first thing in the morning, even though people may be hoping that we are. Thank you. A fourth group. Gail, I'm not sure the microphone is on.
It wasn't. Yeah. Ours was either two words, peace, calm. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same Pali word, two different English translations.
What's the Pali word?
Asanti.
Asanti. Yeah. Well, the main thing we were seeming to focus on was that when we're calm, it helps clarity. Focus, what's really important to us, just seeing things more clearly. That was the main emphasis. And then one of us, when we were thinking about, okay, what can we do to resolve to have that calm that helps us in resolving? just noting, say we're in an agitated state, just agitated, not very calm. But in a calm way, that can help us bring ourselves back to the calm. And then, you know, of course, it's easier to remember what we really want to resolve.
Yeah.
That was the sense of it. Anybody want to add anything to that? Okay.
Yes, Kate.
You want to add anything?
No, I was saying great.
Oh, okay.
Not having been in that group, but for me, peace or calm would be what I would hope that the resolve to practice more often would lead to.
Yeah. It could be also an indicator, like, are we going the right direction? Especially with our spiritual practice, it could be a barometer. Like, are we experiencing more peace? Are we experiencing more calm? Are we feeling restless and agitated less often? So it can be a way to kind of guide us too. Like, if we find that we're getting more and more agitated and restless the more we do this, maybe an opportunity for us to think, okay, well, maybe this isn't a, maybe bring in some wisdom. Is this, should I stay with this? What's the truth of what's really happening? Is there something I need to let go of in order that I can see clearly what's happening here? So all four of these qualities, wisdom, truthfulness, renunciation, and peace or calm, they can help us with our resolutions. They can help us with all our endeavors, right? It doesn't matter what we're doing. Whether we're changing the diapers on our grandson or whether we're driving to work, it does, we could bring, think of these four qualities that will support us in whatever we're doing. Especially those bigger, more difficult ones. Or more difficult or more complicated or more ambitious, maybe I'll use that word. They're the more ambitious things that we embark on. So wisdom, truth, renunciation, and peace. If we can build these four qualities into the things that we do in our daily lives, then these can be stepping stones to some really powerful changes, to some really enduring changes in our lives. Right? If we bring these four qualities to whatever we're doing, including our resolutions, that helps create the conditions for some real change in a powerful, meaningful way. Something else that you might consider, wisdom, truth, renunciation, and calm, of these four, is one of them the easiest for you? Is the most obvious? Is one difficult, not so common in your life, perhaps? And so something to think about, maybe could you cultivate or focus more on one than the others? Yes, sir, Richard has something to say.
I just want to, it's an observation about those qualities. I'm not sure why you selected them or whether they came from, I don't recognize them in any, from any list.
They're a list. There are so many lists. This
I
is
know,
a list.
But I mean, they're on list for sure, but I don't recognize them as a list of four.
Yeah, it's related to resolve.
Okay, great. So there's a couple qualities that I don't think you just generate. One of, and I'm not sure about this, but I think wisdom is like compassion. It's a response that it gets developed somehow. That's how I see it. Determination or resolve is something you can actually direct in a sense, right? But do we direct wisdom? You know, oh, I'm going to be wise here. You know, maybe it's that is a quality that you can sort of reflect on, like, okay, you know, is this going to be helpful or unhelpful, right? That's a wise question to ask, you know, to determine. But you see what I'm saying? I don't know if you do.
I'm afraid I don't.
It's like peace. Peace is the same quality, actually.
Hmm?
It's like peace. Peace is a byproduct. So
yeah, in other words, it's like, I'm going to be peaceful now. Okay, good luck. You know, because I think peaceful is a something that results from conditions that you've created.
Yes, but would you agree that if you say, if you sit down and you say, I'm going to be restless, versus you're going to sit down and meditate, I'm going to cultivate peace, you'll have maybe you'll have a different experience. I see what you're saying. You're saying that just because we say, I'm saying, bring peace to your resolve, you're saying, you can't just bring peace to a resolve. I have to create the conditions for peace to arise. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, essentially, I'm saying that certain qualities or experiences are the result of meeting other experiences. Like, okay, do we generate compassion, or is compassion a response to suffering?
Yeah, and so, right, in the Buddhist teaching, we would say absolutely every single thing is a result, right, of something else. But I know what you're saying. So can you say why this is like this? What's the edginess there?
It's sort of the edge underneath is sort of a flavor of what was happening about peace and calm. You know, the idea that one of the things we can check on is if we're resolving to do something and we start to sit, we say, I'm going to sit every day for a half an hour at this time, and we recognize, oh, that's really causing me a great deal of suffering, but I resolve to do it. Well, maybe we can change some things up. Maybe we can say, okay, let's try something else. Let's bring something else. Because if the result in some levels is nibbana or peace or calm that we're sort of looking for in some way, we're attempting to, by making certain choices, certain decisions, we want this to result, right? So what value are we looking for? Are we looking for this is the way to do it, or is this the experience and we recognize, oh, it's happening?
I think I understand. So maybe I should clarify this then. So these four qualities are to help us with resolve and to help us build resolve and to know, to have a sense of, are we going the right direction? Is our resolve our resolve one that's consistent with our practice, with our spiritual practice? But I would say, I feel like as a practitioner, I can say, you know, I'm going to bring wisdom to this. And what does that mean? That means that I'm going to pause, I'm going to reflect, I'm going to do these things. So maybe that's what you're saying. Maybe you would feel more comfortable if I was saying pause and reflect, and then wisdom would arise, and then that can be applied to the...
You've already got wisdom on one level by asking that question, by pausing and saying, oh, exactly. That's the manifestation of wisdom.
Exactly. That's exactly. So without getting tangled up in all this kind of we can set an intention, a resolution, a determination, but it's not just only that. We can bring in other qualities to support that. And we've been talking about this, right? What do we need to kind of support our resolutions? What do we need in our lives to help make these things happen so we're not like white-knuckling everything? Yes, Taylor.
Oh, I would also just add, in response to Richard, is that I think there's value in just knowing that these are supportive without necessarily having direct control over any of them. And if you're in a situation where you know that you're not calm, right, then you might be able to say, oh, well, then maybe my resolution isn't as strong right now as it should be, right? And that's sort of developing a wisdom around what it means to have be resolved, what are the best conditions to be resolved, and then you might be able to take action like, well, maybe I'll go sit for a while and calm down, you know, that sort of thing.
Great, thank you. So let's take a break. It's 2:46 or something like this. Let's take a break till 3, and then we'll come back and we'll just meet for a short while before we end the day. And I will, during the break, I'm going to print out some flyers. So there are some flyers, some practices and reflections, you know, every month, so we have some for resolve. So, yes, I forgot to print them. I was just...